Everybody, roll initiative.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us for the first episode of The 10-0 Way. I want to do a quick go around the room of everyone, who they are, and the characters they'll be playing. So let's start bringing it in hot right there with our unicorn-loving Mike Johnson, a man joining us from the original 10-0 Way. Mike, you want to just give us a little bit of like your character, who you're playing, and your race? It's a race and class and character name.
Sure. I'm going to be playing the character Zeno, a.k.a. Zen. He's a monk, and he's a custom soul.
So, and a custom soul, now that's not the same thing as, like, starting from scratch in Dark Souls. Custom soul, soul, S-O-L, is a custom race that you and Dion created together, correct?
Ooh. Yes, indeed. Yes.
All right. Next on the mic, we got Zach, who's joining us. Go ahead, Zach.
Hi, I'm Zach. I'm going to be playing Nigel Birtwistle. He's a half-elf bard, and he's going to be getting, like, basically doing everything and getting none of the credit for the team.
Okay.
Take extra credits, more like it.
You suck. I had the most kills.
Nigel is never appreciated.
that's our beloved Tantan in the background joining us once again. Tanner, you want to go ahead?
I am the real person carrying the team. I will be the sorcerer who is human, you know, master race.
And your character name?
Tanner.
Is your character named Tanner?
I want to make you exactly put do down. A very good job of remembering our character names, so.
Yeah, his is Daniel Stanley. Most, so thank God I have the character roster pulled up in front of me. Also, joining us now on this version of the podcast, made a guest appearance on the last podcast, our forever beloved patron, Logan.
Hi, I'm Logan. I'm going to be playing the wood elf rogue, Aminor Melion. Expect some weird jokes. That I think are funny that aren't.
We don't know anything about that in this group.
They're like, no. <we don't. laughs> He didn't pass by these weird jokes by any of us. We also have... also, who made a guest appearance last time on our podcast and also one of our patrons. This is how we choose our talent for this podcast. Who paid us money.
So professional.
Mike Cook.
What up, everybody? I'm Mike Cook, and I will be playing the halfling warrior Adam Goodbody.
And of course, we always have to have our token woman in the cast. We can't just be a complete sausage fest, Kristen.
It's Valley Studios contractual thing that we got.
It sure is, really is. Yeah.
We have to show that
we're an equal opportunity employer.
Yeah. All right, I am Kristen. I'll be playing a Gentumborn. People sometimes call me RG for some reason. Don't know why. I'll be a paladin, and I'm a temple guardian. All neutral. Awesome. I just really wish there was more order in this world.
Don't worry, I'll kill some people.
You came to the wrong world.
Yeah.
Aaron, just saying, last you might catch a couple of days during this, just saying.
Of course I will. I expect nothing less with you on my team, Tanner. And then, of course, I'm Aaron. I'm playing Evolta Runekeeper Tuliaga. Goes by Rune with his friends, a Goliath War Cleric. And then finally, the person who's actually going to make all of this come together and have life, breathe life into it, paint beautiful... beautiful word pictures with his mouth is our DM Dion.
Hello, Dion Garcia. This is first time I've ever done a podcast with Online crew, this is very different.
That's a nice way of putting it, Dion.
Very PC of you.
Yes, if you want to, I'm going to use this as a chance to plug real quick. If you want all the behind the scenes and all the nonsense that happens before we actually get underway, join our Patreon. All right.
Here's a preview. How do I make this character sheet work?
Guys, it's not working.
It's so how do I roll the shot? I have to update. Hold on.
Oh, all right. This was my where we left off. So, Dion, it's the table's yours.
So let's look at the idea of everybody like knowing each other, and you guys are traveling to a small town. And the name of the small town is going to be New Cronyberry.
Okay.
So
cool.
Where are we currently?
Though? As a group, as you guys are traveling, I'm gonna ask you, it's about midday. And you're traveling through a well-traveled trail that would be used for merchant caravans and things like that.
Okay.
So we're safe.
It's a very easily traveled road. It's not really super dirty. And there is going to be a mountain range along your right side or to the south. And then to the north, there is a foresty area. So as you're traveling, you guys, you're feeling fairly safe, but out of the corner of your eye, you catch a little glimmer of something in the tree line.
Okay.
And it looks like you're being watched.
I say, we must be being watched.
That would be me. Okay, guys.
You didn't see it, though, Mike.
Don't panic. There's someone watching us.
Watching? In the tree line.
Really?
Yes. Just saw it out of the corner of my eye. I can't pinpoint them right now, but I know we're being watched.
How far is the tree line away?
The tree line's about 35, 40 feet-ish.
I can get there rather quickly.
I get about 20 feet away, and I cast light on one of the trees.
On one of the trees? Okay. As you start heading toward the tree line, Tanner is going to have to make a dexterity saving throw.
Uh-oh.
At disadvantage.
Oh no.
Well.
Okay. So Tanner starts to head off to the line and right at the last second, Logan, you notice there's a discoloration in the grass as he's walking, and you shout something to get Tanner's attention, and he steps back as a small little pitfall drops down into the ground.
Stop!
And if you're gonna head over to it, you can look in to see. But what you saw in that glimmer in the tree line,
mm-hmm.
you now see six glimmers in the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
And you start hearing as these little dog-shaped reptile heads come poking out of the tree line with little spears and actual short swords coming out of the tree line towards you guys. So we're gonna get initiative. Helpful. So now, what you do to roll initiative?
12 plus 4 is 16.
Aaron rolled a 1.
Okay, so give me 1 second. Let me write this. So we got Aaron. What'd you roll?
5.
Logan?
It's 16.
Okay.
Right, Zach, what'd you get?
13.
And then Mike?
13.
And then Kristen?
2.
Okay.
We know who's going.
As we start going, all these little goblins start running out from the tree line. Oh, right. Tanner, they did not have the range to get to everybody else. Tanner was actually, he came about 10 feet off of the road, so he was a little closer to than what everybody else was. So, we are going to roll. So now, the way it's going to go is you know, the two that are on either side of Tanner. This is called flanking, which means they both get to roll at advantage.
And this is how I die.
You die in the tutorial?
So as I'm rolling, I'm going to roll my two 20s, and I'm going to add the kobold's like attack bonus that that they get, just like what you had gotten. So I roll, and I hit Tanner, because I know what his AC is. And they pull out this, it's this little spear for the first one, and he ends up rolling, and I roll... So, you're going to take 3 damage from the first spear hitting you.
Shit. Oh.
And then Tanner does a 13 hit you.
No.
So, the other one misses.
Woohoo!
Tanner is standing right next to the pit, and as Tanner's next to the pit, these little dragon dog-looking things that are about a little bit taller than what you are, Mike, is just snarling and they're coming up, and they stab Tanner with the spear, and then the other one completely misses Tanner. So now the kobolds are gone, and now it goes to Logan. What are you going to do?
How many are currently engaging Tanner?
I can't wait to get
There is 2 engaging Tanner.
Okay, so I immediately move, fire off an arrow attacking the one that hit Tanner.
Okay.
And then run off toward the tree line.
Okay.
So, actually, this was mine?
Nope.
No, that's
Chris. I gotta get to cover so I can snipe from a distance and provide support.
He's gonna shoot that one.
And then he said run off into the tree line.
Yes.
So he'll probably get about...
So, yeah, roll for your... to hit with your arrow.
15.
And that will hit him.
That's 15. I would add my dexterity modifier onto that, right?
Yes.
So I rolled 19.
Okay, so that definitely hits him.
Yep.
No. Does it kill him?
So now you roll damage, which is going to be the arrow. Six. So, yes.
4 plus 6, I hit. That's 10 damage.
Yeah, so he did, like you shoot the one that just hit Tanner, and you hear this, and then it falls into the pit as the arrow goes through his neck, and he just drops. And then you can make a beeline run to the tree line, and as you get to the tree line, I need you to make a perception.
Okay. Crit miss. That's a 1.
Okay, so yeah, you run in, and as you run in, you stumble into another one of the dog things, but this one has wings. All right, so now this is something called an attack of opportunity, because you didn't see them as you were running this direction, and you go right in front of the threat zone as you do it, so I get an attack roll on you at advantage.
Okay.
And this is how you die.
Oh, so no. This is not how you die, because I only rolled a 9. So I can whiff with my little dagger that I have, and you're able to get into the tree line without any harm coming to you.
That was with advantage? You rolled a 9?
Yeah, I rolled a 2 and a 9.
So. remember, he has to roll a 15 to hit me, because my armor class is crazy.
So now we go to... it'll be Zach and Michael Cook's turn.
So who goes first?
Go ahead, big guy.
I am targeting can I target... Is there any one of them that if I target right on him, I'm going to hit a 20-foot space around him?
Without hitting an ally, yes. There is one that you can do that to.
Okay, so first I want to move... is there a way I can move around him? So I can target.
Yes, you can. You can easily move out and further around him.
Yep, I'd like to move there, and then target basically a cluster of the other kobolds that have not been activated yet. 20-foot area around them.
Okay, so then, these ones in the tree line, you can roll a perception to see if you notice them, but right now you don't see them.
Then I'll roll perception. That wasn't bad. Oh wait, maybe it wasn't. So 14. Well, it's not spectacular.
Yes, you do see them.
All right. Then I'm going to grab a pinch of sand, throw it their way, and yell, "Sleep, doggies!"
Okay.
I love your character, Zach.
Thank you.
All right, what is their the target number that I gotta hit?
14.
Okay. Okay, so, Logan, you see this little creature just fall down and just completely start to snore. Just,
yay! Way to go, Zach!
Good job! Well done, Zach. That's a relief. Now I can focus on one
enemy. Okay, so now, Michael Cook.
Hi!
Okay, so, Michael Cook, what do you do?
Well, I remember a story of my idol, the great Aaron.
Yep.
I'm so glad here we go.
That Aaron. He was put in a situation just like this years ago where he was traveling from one kingdom to another and a pack of these wild dragon dogs attacked him. And he was able to put a few of them to sleep. And then while they were asleep, he just stabbed them mercilessly and it was able to kill them all. So.
Okay. Don't miss.
Dion, I don't know if you saw it or not. He actually has a feat where he rolls a d20 to see if the situation that he's in for the first time actually resembles that of his idol.
Yes.
If he rolls high enough, suddenly the situation we're in is like right out of his storybook.
Awesome.
Okay.
Really good idea there, Michael.
I'm going to find this damn princess. I'm going to save her. I'm telling you. It's going to happen.
If he rolls hey, all Mario. Like eight, the rest of the game, he will.
With the Roost of Courage up and the Blade of Taria in my hand.
I mean, if you roll high enough, you put him to sleep. Forever.
Forever.
Stab him.
Alright, you know what? I'm gonna stab him. I'm gonna kill this fucking thing. It's in the way. Let's go. So grand total is gonna be 12.
Okay, so you hit.
Okay.
So you hear this as it collapses and you cleave right through the upper part of his body.
Woo!
All right.
Thank you, great Aaron.
So now we go to...
I can't believe you added that.
We go to Tanner.
I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers at this guy. Pretty much he's got to make a spell save, or I hit, and I do a lot of damage to him.
What's
your DC? 14.
Okay. So, 4 for damage.
Tanner in the background. Oh.
Yeah. 16.
So you hear it go, dropping its weapons on the ground and collapsing, falling to the ground, and just starts convulsing as it lays there.
Damn it, and I thought my death was brutal. Holy cow.
So now it goes to...
Should go to Kristen now, right?
Well, it goes to these other ones as you see these step off of the trees and take flight.
Oh, fuck me.
Come to me.
It's a good thing we have ranged weapons.
So these two are going to be up in the air. And Zach does a... 12 hit your AC.
No.
Okay. And Michael, does a 14 hit your AC?
16?
They throw these two little rocks at you from their slings, and they just and they completely
throw together. Woo!
So now, Aaron, your turn.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I see him flying. They take care.
Yes, you do see two of those creatures flying.
I look at him, and I scream, My God wants your soul, and I cast Toll the Dead.
Okay.
Wow, that's horrifying.
On which one?
There's one
above Michael, and then there's one above Zach.
Let's go with the one above. I don't know how much I know about them yet. Let's go about the one I know, one above Michael. I've watched. I'm inspired by his stabbing someone through the throat.
You and I are going to be
and somehow friends. Cleaving their upper body while whatever stabbing them through the throat.
You hit him, and you cast a spell on him, and I need you to roll damage for it.
So 3 and 4, 7. Uh-oh. It's necrotic.
All right. So, Michael, I need you to make a dexterity save.
Yes!
Okay.
You're caught up!
So, it's going to be a... If you're not proficient in it, it's just going to be a straight up D20 plus your dexterity modifier.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so I rolled a 17. And my dexterity and my, and it's 3. So 20.
Okay, so.
He gets
this
crit.
Little flying creature just all of a sudden just kind of withers up and starts to. And as it starts to fall towards you. Michael just looks up and he goes, "Wah!" and he
yes!
just slices that thing in half as it falls to the ground.
Yes!
Woohoo! Okay.
Great.
Now it goes to Kristen's turn.
Are there
well, before
any?
Before I do that, I turn around. I look at Aaron. I go, "You go, buddy."
Yes, there is actually two of those little creatures, like right off to your left.
Are they still asleep?
Oh, those ones have not been hit with the sleep spell.
Okay.
The ones in the tree line, those ones Zach hit with the sleep spell.
So I can't throw them into the pit, can I?
You could try to grapple with them and throw them in the pit, yes. You can also try to do a shield bash and knock one of them into the pit.
But I don't have a shield.
Oh, I thought you don't have a shield. Okay, no. So actually, you can use your battle axe, the flat edge, instead of trying to kill it, you can try to subdue it using that and hitting it, trying to make it fall onto the pit.
Are they actively trying to attack us?
Oh, yeah, they've already tried to kill Tanner, and they just tried to hit your two party members with
fucking rocks.
Whoa, wow. That was very
laggy. Wow.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and hit them with my great axe, which is a D12, towards the pit, try to knock them into the pit with the blade side. Okay, so that would be 14.
So you hit.
Yeah, okay. That means damage is 9.
Okay, so attack bonus is plus 2,
so 11.
You smash it and nearly cleave it in half, and it just falls limply into the pit as you swing through.
Jerk.
Boy, did you plan that?
Oh, yeah.
Do not be afraid for this killing.
Now,
they attacked us first.
We approached them, technically, but...
They threw a rock at me!
We're defending ourselves at this point.
They attacked Tanner outright. We're perfectly within our rights to attack them back.
Yeah, as my great legendary idol, Aron, says, if they attack you, you attack the hell out of them.
I just can't...
I think I read that somewhere, too.
I just can't abide monsters, especially ones that just randomly attack people for no reason.
And look, that thing was
two more of those little dog scaly things come out of the tree line, going and one runs right up to Zach, and he swings his little spear at you and hits you for 5.
Oh, Zach!
Oh no.
And then the other one rushes up to the little halfling that is the same size as him and swings his spear directly at you after seeing you do that to one of his clanmate. And he swings wildly and completely misses you all together. And they all
fuck
start
him.
Howling, going...
I would like to retaliate. I would like to attack back at that little fucker, please.
It's not a skill you have yet, but you can get.
Skill you have yet.
Your turn.
What?
Zach, what's your health at right now?
I'm not feeling great.
Flesh wound.
The flesh wound.
It's just a flesh wound.
What? You never gonna get.
I definitely can't take another hit like that. But he's you know, not doing too great.
Visibility in the forest. How is it?
You can see out pretty easily.
Okay.
It was difficult to see in because it's a little dense, but you can see out pretty easily.
Okay, so that would qualify then for my concealing.
Yes, you could. You partially could easily stay concealed, but you are going to end up moving a little slower because of it.
How would that play with my hiding?
You would feet. You would have to make your stealth check.
Okay.
To order remain hidden within the tree line if you're going to try to stay in the tree line.
If I attack, am I going to be immediately visible?
Yes, you will get a surprise attack, which would mean you get to roll at advantage if you snuck through the tree line and came around behind.
Okay, distance from the tree line to Zach?
About 5 feet.
I'm going to sneak behind the kobold that is direct, that just attacked Zach.
Okay. I need you to make a stealth check.
Yep. Stealth is dexterity, and that's a d20, right?
Yep.
Okay. 14 plus dexterity modifier of stealth modifier 6, that's a 20.
Okay, so you are easily able to remain hidden and travel along the side of the tree line and not let yourself be seen.
And then roll for short bow, or not short bow, short sword.
Okay, so d20 plus your modifier.
That would be dexterity modifier, correct?
Yep, plus your proficiency.
That's a 19. I don't even have to calculate
that. Okay, so you hit him. Oh, actually, you get to roll at advantage as well. So you roll another die, because if you roll a natural 20, that's a critical hit.
Nope, that was a 14. So we have a 19 plus 6, that's a 25.
Yeah, you hit this thing.
And then a d6 for damage. 10.
Alrighty. It's standing there right in front of you, Zach, and all of a sudden you see this little piece of a blade come through its chest, and it goes, and then it falls right down to the ground.
Oh my.
You're welcome.
And then standing right there with a bloodied short sword in his hand.
Nice shot.
I then flourish my blade, wiping the blood off on the grass.
I take out a handkerchief and delicately wipe my cheek off.
And proceed to move back toward the tree line.
You get right at the edge of it. You're not going to get back into it. You just don't have enough movement.
Okay.
So we're trying to get into the tree line at this point? Like trying to escape?
No.
No, I'm just using it for stealth because I'm a freaking rogue.
we're killing everything in front of us.
All right, so where is a kobold in relation to me?
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of them are dead already.
Got two sleeping in the tree line, and there's one directly in front of you.
Yep. Not directly. It's up above you. It's flying.
Okay.
It's flying kobold.
Oh, we got that guy still.
Don't forget the two that are asleep in the tree line.
Yep. Those two as well. And
most
then
of us don't know about them.
There is one standing near Kristen and one in front of Michael.
All right, I'm going to use Vicious Mockery on the one that's flying above me.
Okay.
Look right at him and scream, you look ridiculous, you curlish, beetle-headed clackdish.
What did he say?
And it looks back at you, and it's like...
So?
That's what I'd say, too.
What was my DC?
It's still the 14.
Okay, so he nothing happens when you do that. I believe he takes half damage, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so roll for damage and then divide it by two.
He took one damage and apparently was not affected by my witty insult.
Okay, so now it is Michael's turn.
Alrighty, well, so what are we looking at here? How far away am I from one?
There's one directly in front of you. It ran up after you sliced through his buddy that fell down out of the sky. Oh, and him? Tried to stab you and missed.
Okay. Oh, yeah, him. That's right, this fucker. Okay. Alrighty. Well, I kind of want to be a show-off a little bit here, but I don't know if I should. Because I feel like I don't know. I just...
If you feel like you shouldn't, you always should.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially given your character.
All right, well, I got an acrobatic skill, so I can actually, like, flip over this guy and, like, stab him right in the back and show no mercy for him trying to, like, fucking slash me with his damn sword at, like, a barrage. Am I able to do that or no?
You can. You're going to have to make an athletics or an acrobatics check with whichever one you're proficient in. That's what I would use. And
I'm proficient in both, believe it or not.
Okay, well, so you can roll one of those two and make it look fancy. So roll high.
Please okay. Fail.
Jumps not too high, trips over the guy,
and then proceeds to fall into the pit.
We got a 15, baby, with a modifier of 3, so we got 18.
Okay. So you go to leap. The little creature is like and swings at you with his little spear, completely misses you, and steps forward. And as you land, now make your attack roll.
Okay, so we got a 15.
Okay, that hits.
Okay. It's a 4. I got a 4. I rolled a 1 plus my 3. Alright.
So
you do
4 damage to it. And it looks incredibly fancy, just like you said. You do a leap, like aerial twist in the air. So when you land, you come and you do a slash, and he just howls in pain.
But I didn't kill him.
No, you did not. He does not fall.
Okay.
Aaron, your turn, or Tanner's turn. Sorry.
Such fancy thing.
But now he's mad.
Damn it.
Leave the acrobatics to the professionals.
Oh, is it me?
Hey, you gotta admit, oh, no, I made Tanner. That stab I look fab. Okay.
Why are we even talking during combat? This is something we should be talking about afterwards. Idiot.
No, this is this is perfect.
You all look at Tanner and describe what you do, Tanner.
Alright. I look at the one that's flying above Zach, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck this guy. I launch a fireball straight at its face.
Okay.
And it just bursts into flames and just falls right to the ground at your feet, Zach. Still on fire.
My character takes full credit for the death, feeling that his insult made the creature burst into flames.
Ha-ha! This is a delayed reaction.
He just got it. You did a noise show.
Now it goes to Aaron.
Okay, is there any of them within my melee, or can I move up to a melee within any of them?
You can go up to one in melee.
How many?
Michael,
I guess
is standing
how many
on the back side of one.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
This is not time to be making those jokes, Rune.
How many can I see?
You can see 2.
Okay. So as I run into melee with the one, I want to look at the other one. Where are they at? They're right next to...
One is standing next to Kristen, like off to the left of you. And the other one is in front of you with Michael behind you.
Okay. So as I run up to the one towards Michael, I want to look at Nigel and be like, I can also make things burst in flame. And the one that's in front of Kirsten, I actually want to cast Sacred Flame on.
Okay.
So you're just going to leave me high and dry looking like an idiot?
Hang on.
You already did that to yourself without killing the kobold.
Okay, so roll for damage for Sacred Flame.
He moved.
All right. No, he did. You missed. You just
hang on. That was not enough.
I nicked him.
So that is glancing blow. Seven.
Seven damage?
Yep.
So, Kirsten, as you're standing there, Aaron says this, and then this thing just bursts into flames right in front of you and collapses to the ground.
Okay. Now, as I get to the one in front of Michael, I want to be like, I want to use my bonus action, my, what's it called? Oh, it's just War Priest. So I can use a bonus action to do a melee attack as a bonus action.
So, okay, so roll to hit.
So War Priest, I'm now going to get right in front of Michael and I'm going to be like, I'll finish him with just the tip. 26 to hit.
What?
26 to hit.
Oh, yeah. But did you roll a natural 20?
No, I rolled a natural 19.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this is with my short spear, which is a 1d6. So plus 5. So 9.
Okay. So when you hit it. No, it does not do that.
What?
You hit it with that short spear, and as you slam into it, you see a light little glow come off of it, and then it just and it explodes.
Yes!
And Michael, you now have little guts and bits of this little thing all over your face, and Aaron's right there with a spear just pointed directly at it.
Adam,
well, I deserve
did
that.
Your Aaron ever do that?
No.
No, Michael, you need to actually roll that to find out if it did.
You know what? Yeah, can I roll to see if that happened or not?
See if it actually did happen.
All right, would that be a 20 or what would that be?
You would roll, just roll a 20 sided and tell me what you get.
Oh, no, it's a D10. He rolled a D10. If it's a 9 or a 10, then it's
okay. All right, D10. Hold on.
Sorry about that.
No, D10. I got a D12. Would that work?
No, just do a D10. Or you can have Aaron roll for you if you don't have one.
I've got a D10 right here if you want me to just roll it for you.
Go ahead, roll it for me. You better not.
I'm sure this is the right one.
Suck. Don't suck.
Yeah, you got a 1.
No, it never happened.
Nope, never happened. This is the first for me.
Okay, so
pity.
There is a larger
fucking ninja.
Okay, so a much larger creature steps out of the tree line.
Distance to me.
Talk about this thing.
Yeah, actually, within your range. So he steps out and he looks around, gives a little and then turns and goes back into the tree line.
The hell was that?
Yeah, seriously, let's go after it.
So, Kirsten,
in goblin guts. Let me clean
Kirsten,
it up. First.
It is your turn.
Kirsten, you were right the first time.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Is there any? The one in front of me just burst into flame. Is there anyone else? Any others near me?
No,
right now.
Just that big one that stepped out of the tree line and howled and started to go back into the tree line.
We're gonna go after it.
You can. If you make a dash, you can move double your movement. And potentially catch him as he was trying to retreat.
How far away is he?
He is probably about 35 feet.
Ah, darn. I was going to throw a javelin at it, but that's 30 feet.
Well, you can throw it. You just do it at disadvantage. So you roll 2d20 and you roll one less. Or you can move up 10 feet and then you would roll it as a normal attack because you are within range now because you can move and attack.
So can I sprint at it and throw the dagger as I sprint at it?
Yeah, you can. If you make a dash roll, you can't attack because that's an actual feat or something you get at higher levels for a fighter.
Gotcha.
But starting now, you can actually move forward, throw your spear, and then continue the rest of your movement.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's a 4.
Oh.
Never mind.
Okay. So it ends up going wide, and you completely miss it into the tree line.
What are you doing?
Come on.
Now I have four javelins. So
I think she's marking where it's going so we can follow.
Yes, no, she's not. That's exactly what I was doing.
I can go retrieve it for you.
Yeah, that'd be good. We could do that. We're going to go that way.
And then as you get towards the tree line, you're within like 10 feet of the tree line, you can see a sleeping form down on the edge of the tree line.
Oh, no.
We forgot the two that Zach put to sleep.
What is that thing? I hope this thing.
All right, so now we're back at the top of the order again. So, Logan, it is your turn.
Are we still battling?
Well, there's still perception two creatures. Depending on what you want to do with them.
Oh, right.
I'm gonna do a perception roll for the large one.
Okay. To try to find them.
Yep.
Okay, so you can roll.
That's a 4. So I rolled a 5 on my perception.
Okay, so you're looking around and squinting and trying to see him, and then all you see is just more and more trees and like dense foliage.
Blast has disappeared.
Damn it.
I was hoping to get rid of him.
Don't worry, she mocked it for you.
She didn't mark nothing. And we got a chamois.
Can y'all pick that up for me anyway? That'd be great, thanks.
Yeah, we can take care of that after we get rid of these two sleeping kobolds.
Hey, sleeping ones.
You can stab me with a spear if you want.
Anybody got a chamois?
Do what?
What on earth is a chamois?
All right, a towel.
I move toward the closest sleeping kobold.
Okay.
In the process, I throw a dagger at the far one.
Okay, so you're going to make a roll. It is prone. You're going to roll at advantage.
Okay. 25. 3, so 9.
Okay. So, it does not look like it's breathing anymore. But you do have one at your feet. So now it goes to Zach and Michael's turn. As far as you can tell, that all of these dog scaly all dead.
What about the one that's by his feet?
Yeah, there's still one left over here, Nigel.
You said as far as I can see, so I can't see.
Yes, as far as you can see.
Like line of sight or perception?
Just your line of sight. As far as you can see, everyone on the battlefield that was there before is not moving.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so he wouldn't I'm be going able to
meander in Imanor's direction. Did I pronounce that wrong?
Amanor.
In Amanor's direction until I can see another kobold laying there.
Okay. All right, you can get there and you end up seeing the feet of a little kobold and you can trace it into the tree line and you see him in there.
Ha. Well, not to be outdone, I'm going to throw my dagger at that kobold.
Okay, so roll 2d20 and whichever one's higher.
All right, 24.
And you hit it?
9.
So you...
Looks like no one did outdid anyone. We just did the exact same thing.
Mine was cooler.
So now
that it was, my friend, that it was.
As you're all looking around,
I give Adam a
see this
death glare for that comment.
You see all these just creatures just laying about, bleeding out, and you do not see any more creatures around.
You think we can eat these things?
Why would we want to do that?
I'm hungry.
Nigel just gives him this horrified eye stare.
Always hungry. But I imagine you would probably be willing to eat anything, given how if you are hungry enough. I should know, after all, given my 30-some-odd years of destitution.
I wonder what's in that pit, anyway. Are you actually looking there?
About that, pal. Oh, yeah, the pit. Yeah.
When you're stuck on the streets of Neverwinter for 30 years, it's not pleasant.
Did you ever have to eat one of these guys?
Close. I ate a few rats.
Dion, can I look inside the pit while they're talking?
Yeah.
You can look inside the pit. Inside the pit.
Oh, my God, I thought that thing was his.
there's actual, the little kobolds that fell into it are sticking to the sides because there is little spears and javelins that are hanging outside of the pit.
So it's a death pit.
Yes, yes. There was little jagged sticks and poles that were along the edge of it and a few on the bottom.
Well,
can I loot the bodies?
Yes, you can loot the bodies. You start going through and picking them up, and you realize that Daniel is walking around and he is burning them. You manage to find 5 copper pieces and a couple of slings and 2 javelins before Tanner walking up and burning them.
Okay.
What are you doing?
We did all this loot, Daniel. Stop it.
What was that?
Say you wanted to eat him. He's just cooking for you.
Thank you. I can cook my own food.
Who said they wanted it extra crispy?
I appreciate it.
I go and retrieve Argentum's javelin from the woods.
I would like to walk with him, and as we get kind of around the area where the guy had shown himself, I would like to see if I can find like any tracks or whatever.
Okay, so you roll survival?
I'll help him on that.
Okay, are either of you proficient in it?
I am.
Okay, so then you roll at advantage.
You know what? I'll help them both, and I'll cast light on Aaron's armor.
You can't, you burn the body.
All right, so 18 plus 4 is 22.
Okay, so you do manage to find some broken, like, twigs and what looks like a footprint.
Now, is it just, like, the one footprint broken twigs, or am I able to, like, follow a trail?
Like, you start being able to piece it together and kind of follow a trail as you look through there.
All right, I'm going to just start moving as quickly as possible following that trail.
Are you going to...
I'm going to follow
try to dash, behind. Or are you going to just move your regular movement? Because a dash lets you move up to double your movement, and your regular movement is just going to be that 30 feet.
Let's dash.
Okay.
Like, I'm just taking off.
Hold a moment. Hold a moment, Rune.
Just shouting behind me.
Let me scout ahead.
There's a friend over here.
Let me scout ahead first. I'll let you know if we have any issues.
Let me join you. I can help.
Since when were you stealthy?
Oh, well, I beg your
pardon. I actually kind of want to see this. Let him go with.
Fine. Just don't sit down.
Kristen, are you proficient in perception?
I am not.
You're not? Okay, so if you could give me a perception roll at disadvantage.
That's a 20, correct?
Yes, a d20 plus your wisdom modifier. But you're going to roll 2 of them because you're only at disadvantage. And you take the lower of the 2.
Okay, well, I only have 1d20, so I'm going to roll it twice.
Okay.
I got an 18, and I got...
8?
A 19.
Oh!
That's pretty good.
Plus the wisdom modifier. Sorry, I forgot about that. So it's a 19 and a 20. If you added to both
of them. So you got a 19 because you take the lower of the 2. You're seeing something very peculiar. Everywhere where your party member Daniel has walked, the foliage is turning brown.
Like dying?
Kind of. I mean, you're not really like familiar with nature, but it kind of looks like that. But you're not sure.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's very peculiar. You just happen to see it as you're kind of pillaging the bodies and he's walking around kind of behind you in different areas, burning them. You just happen to notice that.
And it's not from him burning them. It's not like the ground catching fire?
No. Like, it's there's the burning of the ground, which is actually turning it black and, like, charring the stuff.
Right,
and
no,
this
okay.
is more kind of like a brownish.
Well, is there a party member near me that I could... notify or say something to?
No, well, the other party members are actually up by the
way
tree
up
line.
By the tree line.
Yep.
Yeah, 3 of us are in the trees currently hunting down the large kobold.
Right. Okay. Yes, so I'm gonna yell at the guy that
is at the tree line.
Okay. So it was who that was walking around burning bodies?
Daniel, which would be Tanner's character.
Okay, so I'm gonna notify Daniel and be like, "Hey, what's up with the ground around you?
You step in poop.
I gotta get my power somewhere."
What's going on with it? Why does it look like it's dying? Or why is it turning brown and weird?
I wouldn't say it's dying so much as it's just loaning me a bit of its energy.
Okay.
Ooh, that's some interesting. Dark magic level shit.
Is it going to get back? Or is it...
I mean, everything grows back eventually.
Okay.
I don't know that that's true.
Well, I mean, necromancing does exist, so... And it sometimes can grow back.
Have okay, I come so, across anything while running?
Logan, yeah. While you're trying yes. to scout ahead, are you moving stealthy? Or
yes,
are you just,
I'm moving okay, stealthily.
So you're going to actually move a little bit slower than what Aaron is, because you're trying to stay hidden.
Okay.
So you roll your stealth.
Mm-hmm. 11.
Okay. So you're traveling along, and Michael, are you heading with them?
Yeah, I'm going with them.
Okay.
And I want to put out too, like, I'm since I'm following this trail, I'm watching for, like, at any moment where the trail looks like it, like, comes to a halt, where he, like, stopped, I'm going to, like, stop before I just, like, run into that.
Okay.
Dion, for my ring of messaging, do they have to have the matching copy for me to be able to communicate?
Yes.
Okay, so that's useless here.
Yeah, it's only a one-way conversation.
So what are we running towards in the woods? Is there like a structure or like a castle or anything that we're
heading towards? It was that baddie who
It's really hard to see because of just the dense forest.
Mm.
But it looks like that's what they were trying to follow, that creature.
Okay.
So am I currently partially obscured?
Yes, like you are okay, trying so to that's move gonna... stealthy and trying to find it. You end up coming up, and as you mm-hmm. move around, you see him standing there moving around.
Okay, so he's moving around. He's alone.
Well, you aren't up there yet, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
But is it Aminor?
Yeah.
Aminor, you are actually, you see him, and it looks like he's opening up an area within the, like, kind of like knocking down brush and branches and kind of making a spot where it's open as opposed to being really dense.
So he's creating a glen in the middle of the forest?
Yeah, he's possibly crop setting circle. Up a camp.
This is how they're made.
Crop circle.
We could literally stop right there you are trying to figure out what this creature is. And why it's creating this circular patch of tearing down all the forest.